Okay. So, I just want to recall you what we have been seeing yesterday. One way to solve constraint problem is to penalize the violation of constraints and we did it this way. And we actually realized so that for the idea seems nice, has some huge troubles. Because, okay, this term is positive if and only if you are outside the critical region, and when you increase the penalty parameter, this penalty increases. Okay? But we realized by theoretical reasoning that it's unlikely for you to end up directly in the physical region at some point, even for large values of R. And the reason is that if we solve this unconstrained problem, let's suppose for instance it's convex, so that taking the stationary points is exactly the same thing as taking the minima, this was possible at being feasible. This is possible if and only if the gradient of the original objective function at the point is zero. So a very particular case. Okay? And then we also have some arguments with the Lagrange multiplier, which showed once again that this is the sequence. So some of you asked me, and so I'm going to show you a concrete example, okay? And the example is extremely simple, because I'm giving you an example in just a unique variable. So let's say I want to minimize a function of one variable, t squared, asking for t to be greater or equal than 1. Okay, which written as our standard formulation is 1 minus t less or equal than 0. Okay, this problem is trivial, obviously. Okay, the optimal solution is t equal 1. Okay, we don't have to make any reasoning about this. It's almost self-evident. Okay, so when we write a penalty, let's say when we make a penalty here, the penalty will be t squared plus r times the maximum between 0 and 1 minus t squared. Okay, I explicitly wrote the constraint. Okay, and then I'm going to show you what happens for different values of r. Okay, it's so simple that you could do it on paper, okay, but I'm going to show you on the computers with some pictures so that we can visualize the thing. Okay, so this is the feasible region, the half line starting from 1, okay, and this is the function t squared. Okay. Notice that according to our theory, we are not going to end up in the feasible region regardless how big we choose this parameter, because the gradient should be zero, and the gradient of this function, the derivative 2t, is zero if and only if t is zero. Okay? And zero is outside the physical region. So it does not happen. Okay?
Indeed, if we solve the problem with r equal to 0, we are fine. We are going to find the minimum of the unconstrained problem. Okay? We minimize t squared. But let's say we, so up there you see r equals 0. Let's suppose we take r equals 1/2. Okay? The penalty is 0 inside the feasible region. So here the function keeps being x squared. And then you give some penalty to the point outside the feasible region. Okay? And this is the penalized objective function which we want to minimize over the full space. And you see, here values are smaller than inside the feasible region. You are pushing them up, but it's not enough because the minimum will be somewhere around here. Okay? It's the black dot. So I try to increase the parameter more so that I push the function even more up. So I take r equal 1, and this is the kind of green function. You know, on the feasible region it will never change, but here it goes up. But once again, it is not enough. Okay? The minimum will be roughly here, which is still outside the feasible region. Okay? Then I try with r equal 2. It's the blue one. Okay? It's still increasing, but still the minimum point is outside the feasible region. And there's no way you can try r equal 4. You can try r equal 8, r equal 16, and I think that's, yeah, that's the last one I tried. Okay? No matter how big r is, you never manage to push up the function here in such a way that the minimum is inside the feasible region. Okay? No matter. You pull it up, but for some small value, it still goes down and then goes up. Okay? And indeed, as r is increasing, we are approaching 1, and we already knew this. Okay? But you never get inside the feasible region. Okay? You need r to go to plus infinity. There's another kind of technique, penalization technique, which states that if you do the penalty in a good way, there exists some r, such that if you take the penalty parameter bigger than that r, the penalty is so-called exact, so it finds a feasible solution and the minimum. Okay. So you should ask me, why didn't you teach us that directly? The trouble is that the thing you have to add here is not this nice, is non-differentiable. Okay? So you would need tools from calculus for non-differentiable functions, okay? Which we decide to not consider in the course. Okay. And then there's another issue that you know that there exists some threshold value, but you don't know the value. Okay. In any this kind of penalization we just run is called external. Okay, external penalization, and this is the reason. Except extremely lucky situation, you end up outside the feasible region. Okay? The sequence of points you generate is made of unfeasible points, which approach the feasible region, which approach the optimal solution, but are not feasible. I can show you another example, this time with two dimensions. And the example is the one I gave you as an exercise.
So now we have n equal 2, so I will write x, x1 squared plus x2 squared subject to x1 plus x2 minus 1 equals 0. Okay? An equality constraint. Okay? The example we started from. Okay? So that the penalty, the penalized objective function is this one. Here, you put the constraining function and you take the square. Okay? We had some arguments yesterday, and I gave you as an exercise to test proof Carrier-Sponheimer condition or Lagrange multipliers that one half is the optimal solution. Here you have the feasible region. Okay? The feasible region is a line in R2, x1 plus x2 equal 1. And here you have the objective function, the square of the node, x1 squared plus x2 squared. And these are the level curves, the minimum value is in 0, and then you have circles. Okay? Circles which describe the level curves. So that you see roughly that the minimum is somewhere here, and indeed it's one half. Okay. So, suppose I solve the penalized problem with no constraint taking R equals 0. I try to be lucky. Okay? What I get is clear at this point here, 0, 0. Okay? Then let me increase the penalty parameter. What happens is that the objective function changes. Okay? And so the level curve changes because I'm adding these terms. Okay? Let me check here. The values of the... The values of the parameters are... So, okay, I use the same scale. 1 half, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. Okay? So this is for 1 half. Now, it's still a quadratic function, because this gives quadratic terms, but now the center is no longer the equilibrium, it is here, and the level curves are no longer circles, because you have different coefficients. They are going to become ellipses. Okay, ellipses. And so, if you solve now this penalized problem, you get this point here. You increase the penalty, yoo-hoo-hoo, to 1. You get this. Okay. And so the new point will be the green yellow 1. You increase, so 1, 2, 4. This is what you're getting, the blue one, 8. It's like 1 again. Okay, on the computer is purple. Okay, that's blue again. What you are noticing, okay, is that these ellipses are becoming more and more narrow, okay. One side increases, one axis increases, and the other gets smaller and smaller. The eccentricity is increasing, and it is the situation where you were running a minimization, unconstrained minimization, a gradient method gets into the zigzag troubles, okay, more and more. And also yesterday I told you that this, as r goes to plus infinity, becomes a nil condition problem because one eigenvalues goes to plus infinity. Okay, and the other remains fixed.
So the best thing you can do is take the biggest r and
Yeah, you start with a big R, but you cannot start with a too big R. Okay? The idea is I hope to be close to feasibility, okay, to an almost feasible solution with a reasonable R. Okay? And this is the last one. Okay? But this is not the way these problems are handled. Okay? This is just the starting point. Okay? Because this equation here is too strong. Okay? To get feasibility through the unconstrained problem means exactly that you must have the gradient of the original objective function to be zero at that feasible point. Okay? If the gradient is nowhere zero in the feasible regions, there is no way you can get a feasible point. So the idea is to try to modify this approach a little bit. Okay? And I'm going to show you this for the case of equality constraints. Okay? So we wish to minimize f at x, supposing that the constraint is described by p equality constraints. Okay? So that in this situation, that penalized function reads f at x plus r times the sum of the squares of the constraining function. Okay? Yesterday I told you that considering this situation is not to be understood as restrictive, because you can turn an inequality constraint into an equality, adding a slack variable in this way. Okay? Rather than g I at x less or equal than zero, you say that it sums with the square of the new variable s I is equal to zero. Okay? So, inequality constraints can be included in what I'm going to show you this way, and then there is also a way to eliminate these variables. Okay? You can do the theory with equalities, then you plug this in, and you have a way to get rid of these variables in the end. Okay? So let's focus here, because I want you to focus on the idea. Okay. The idea is we want to solve this trouble we are getting here. And the way to do this is to add here an additional term which depends on the function hi multiplied by some coefficient hj multiplied by some coefficient mu j. Okay. Now, if you see the orange part only, the orange part is the Lagrangian of this problem. Okay. So that actually the Lagrange multipliers rule is nothing else than asking that the gradient of this orange function with respect to x, considering this as parameters, is zero. Okay? The Lagrange multipliers rule here reads this way. The gradient of f plus the sum over j of mu j, the gradient of h j
at x is 0. Okay? Plus visibility. Okay? So KKT conditions is this Lagrange system plus visibility. And if you take the derivatives, the gradient of the yellow function here with respect to x, what you get is exactly this part here. Okay? So when you are doing now this function here, so it's the Lagrangian plus a penalty term. Okay? And this is the reason why it is called augmented Lagrangian. Okay? Augmented means aumentata. Because you augment the Lagrangian with this term. Let's see if this produces some good news. Okay? Let's consider now the minimization of this penalized objective function all over the space. Okay? And let's see its gradient. Its gradient is with okay. Its gradient with okay, I should say, sorry, the usual name for this is L, sorry, this costume. It is, I give the same notation you have on my notes. This is called L, and it is considered as a function of U and the vector mu. Okay, so this is in Rn, and this is in Rn. So when you take the gradient, you say, I take the gradient with respect to the x variables only. I fix the mu as parameter. Okay? I take the gradient, and the gradient reads, so the gradient of that.
The mu is an element of our element.
Is a vector whose components are the mu j. Oh, no, sorry. Okay. I mismatched letters. Thank you. So, these sums are up to B. Now, let me take the derivative of this, which is simpler, which becomes just same coefficient, the gradient of hi, and then I have to take the derivatives of this, which I can... is 2 times the function times the gradient. Okay? Okay, I can consider just this case to make the comparison. Now, what I get here is the following. Let's suppose that x is feasible. Okay, let's say x bar is feasible. Now, x bar in R n and mu bar in R t satisfy the KKT conditions,
which are nothing else since we have equality constraints only than the Lagrange multipliers rule,
if and only if
the gradient with respect to the variable x only of the augmented Lagrangian of the point is zero. Okay? Now I give you the proof, which is this, actually this statement here, no more than that. Okay? Why? F bar is feasible it means what? What's the value here? Since it's feasible and these are equality constraints, these are all zero. Okay? And since these are all zero, this vanishes, and asking this for to be zero is exactly the Lagrange multipliers rule. Okay? So the proof is obvious, okay? Because it's just that. Okay? The assumption gives you this. But you see now, there's a huge difference with respect to what we were doing yesterday. Yesterday we had this unlucky situation. The gradient of f had to be zero for us to be able to find a feasible solution solving the unconstrained penalized problem. Here, we could be luckier. Okay? We could be luckier because there is this correspondence. KKT condition for our original problem, for T, correspond to stationarity of which problem? Well, I think I fix the P multiplier and then I minimize the Lagrange with respect to x all over the full space. Okay? So this is fixed and you want to minimize this as a function of the variable. Okay. Minimizing this or finding stationary point of this is this one, okay, which corresponds to KKT conditions if the point you compute is feasible. Okay. So the trouble here becomes getting feasibility. Okay. And getting feasibility is the issue. Okay. And how do you drive feasibility? You drive feasibility through the penalization parameter. Okay. So now you have two groups of, you have two tools. The penalty parameter R, which you can exploit to drive feasibility, and the multiplier, okay, which can help you to get the KKT conditions. Okay? So, there are two possibilities. I solve this problem. Okay? I get a solution which is not feasible. The reason might be two, at least two. The penalty is not enough. Or the Lagrange multipliers I choose are not the right ones. Okay? So here I can work on the algorithm in two ways. I can update the penalty parameter, or I can think that I'm close enough or getting close enough to the feasible region, even if I'm not feasible, but the multipliers are not the right ones. Okay? And the only issue here is, okay, I know how to update, so this was here. I know how to update the penalty parameter. I just increase it. Okay? How do I update multipliers? Suppose that these multipliers are wrong. Okay? Well, this formula here gives you the idea, because this is the gradient for that plus, notice here there's a coefficient, and here there's another coefficient. Okay? So I can put them together, and this becomes 2RH, no, it becomes, sorry, mu j bar plus 2RA times the gradient of the constraint. Okay? So, if the solution is feasible, this is zero. If the solution is feasible, well, the right multipliers are not the ones that I used. Okay? But they could be this one. Okay? So, x bar, unfeasible, satisfies the Lagrange multipliers rule with these multipliers, and not the one I choose. So the idea is to update them according to this formula. I want to show you the algorithm that is based on this idea. I have written it here, you have it in the notes, okay, so I don't have to spend time on the blackboard, I can explain it to you. So, it is penalization plus the exploitation of multipliers, okay? And so, this is the reason why this is known as the method of multipliers, okay? So, the heart of the algorithm is this one I already told you. Okay? I get unfeasible solutions. Okay? If I'm not satisfied by how the solution is far from the feasible region, I increase the penalty parameter. And I keep the same vector of multipliers. Okay. If I'm satisfied with the violation of the constraints, how much the constraints are not satisfied, then I keep the same penalty parameter and I update the multipliers according to this rule here. Okay. Now, so this is the heart. Now I give you the details. Okay, I choose some parameters, delta, I will come back later to delta, between 0 and 1, beta, which is the rate at which I increase the penalty parameter, so it's a number greater than 1, its common choice is 2, each time you update the penalty parameter, you double it, okay? Then I have to choose an initial vector for multipliers. So I choose a guess for this coefficient here. Okay? A guess for the multipliers. I try to guess them. Then what do I do? I fix the multipliers and I minimize the augmented Lagrangian as a function of x with those multipliers. And that, and also with that penalty parameter, I also choose an initial value for the penalty parameter. Okay? So I minimize the Lagrangian with given penalty and given multipliers. Okay? Roughly, if I'm not able to minimize because it turns out to be a non-convex problem, I simply look for a stationary point. Okay? The algorithm works the same. Now, suppose I end up with a feasible solution. Okay? If I end up with a feasible solution, this result here is telling me that I get a feasible solution, I get stationarity for the augmented Lagrangian, then I get a point which satisfies the optimality conditions. Okay? So if I get feasibility, I stop. Because I get a point which satisfies the Kerr-Schumacher conditions. If the problem is convex, it's also minimum. Otherwise, I find out a point satisfying the KKT condition, which is the most you can opt for. But it's unlikely you get a feasible solution at your first shot. Okay. So how do I measure how infeasible I am? Okay. To be feasible, all these quantities here have to be zero. Okay. So I take the absolute value of each of these quantities, and I take the maximum of these values, okay? It means the maximum distance I have from one of the surfaces described by each constraint, okay? Each constraint gives you a surface, and you measure essentially the distance with the value of the function describing the surface, okay? So, zero means that all of these are zero, otherwise positive. So it's feasible, otherwise it is positive. Okay. At each iteration, and this is this value here, at each iteration I keep the current value of the violation. Okay? The current solution violates the constraints of this amount, according to this measure of violation. Now there are two cases. And at the first iteration, clearly I don't have any solution, so I set the violation to plus infinity. Okay. Now there are two solutions. I compute the new point, the one which minimizes the augmented Lagrangian. Now, if the new point violates the constraints more than a given fraction of the violation I had before, okay, let's say this is one half, okay, the new point violates the constraints more than one half the violation of the previous point, okay, I'm not satisfied with this. Okay? I'm not getting closer to the feasible region fast enough. Okay? What do I do? Well, I increase the penalty parameters and I keep the multipliers fixed. Okay? If I'm satisfied, it means less or equal. It means that the new point is at least 50% closer to the feasible region with respect to the previous one. Okay. I'm satisfied with the penalties. I'm decreasing at least half the distance from the feasible region. So, no need to update the penalty parameter. And it means, since this solution is not feasible, it means that here the multipliers I had chosen were not the right ones. Okay, because xk satisfies the Lagrange multipliers with these multipliers and not the ones that I gave you. So I update the multipliers according to that formula there. Okay, and then I simply iterate. Okay, I'm not going to prove you results about this. I'm not going to give you details of formal statements of the proofs. Okay? You can prove a couple of things. For instance, it is not possible to perform this step here, increasing the penalty parameter, an infinite number of times consecutively. Okay? You can perform it at most a finite number of times, and then this will be satisfied. Okay? You can prove this. So at least from time to time you perform this. Okay? And then you can prove that under reasonable assumption the algorithm converts to a feasible solution satisfying the KKT conditions. Okay? What is the gain with respect to external penalization? The gain is that I hope to perform the increase of the penalty parameters the less it is possible. Okay? And it actually works. So I'm going to show you an example. And the example is always the same that we had. We want to minimize the square of the norm in R2 over the line x1 plus x2 equal 1. Okay? The same example that we had before. And this should be multiplied. Yes, multi. Multipliers. Okay. I code the algorithm. You can see it's not long. You just have to code these instructions here. These are input data. The algorithm is simply here. Since the problem is simple, I can compute a formula. Okay, to solve this problem here. Okay, otherwise you should call an algorithm, a function from MATLAB, solving that problem. Okay, here I checked out the problem; it was simple, and I did find out that this is the solution. Okay, you can perform it by yourself. The example is so simple; you can have it. Okay. So when I run it, the algorithm asks me for some parameters. Okay. So the first parameter I'm asked is delta here, which rate of improvement of the violation I'm satisfied with. And let's say I choose 1/2. Okay. Then the second parameter, beta, is the rate at which I increase the penalty. So let's say we take 2, we double the penalty. And then it asks me for an initial value for R, for the penalization parameter. Let's say we start with 1. Okay? Rather than 0. And then he asked me the vector of Lagrangian multipliers, my guess for Lagrangian multipliers. We have just a one unique constraint, so we have just one multiplier to choose. Standard way to choose when you have no information is to take 0. Okay? To take this as the 0 vector. So I'm taking 0, then I run the algorithm. And here you have the result. Maybe I can make it bigger. I don't.
Okay, I hope you can see. These are, each line, each row is an iteration, okay? And for each iteration I give you the value of the penalty parameter, the value of the multipliers, or the multiplier, in this case the just one, the components, x1 and x2 of the current solution, and the violation, okay? Here I choose, my choice was to stop the algorithm, or you should say when the violation is zero, but that is mathematics and not computer science. And so I choose 10 to the minus 6, okay, which is a pretty big, a small value. Okay. So here, indeed, the algorithm stops when the violation gets below value 10 to the minus 6. Okay. Here we were already at 10 to the minus 6. So if we were going to stop to 10 to the minus 3, we would have stopped where? Here. Okay. And indeed, you don't see much improvement in the solution. No. But still you have. What do you notice here? The thing you notice is R never changes. Okay. R has been considered by the algorithm good enough at every iteration. Okay? So the trouble of R going to plus infinity can be solved, not always, but sometimes, in this way. Okay? And then you see that you converge to the optimal solution, one half. Okay, and you also get the optimal multipliers that if you run the computation I left you as an exercise is minus one. Okay, you should ask me a question. Well, this is 0.505. Okay, so this should be zero. Okay, this is not true because it writes 0.5, but actually it's 4.99999 and something different afterwards. Okay, so it's roughly 1/2. Okay, otherwise this violation would be zero. Okay.
Okay, let's try to rerun it again. With different choices. Okay. Oh, we were asking 1/2. Okay. Maybe it's not enough demanding. Let's choose, I want to improve, okay, I want the new point to be at least five times better, it means 0.2, okay, choosing 0.2. So let's choose 0.2, then let's take the same stuff, we double the penalty parameter if needed, we take the initial penalty as 1, and we take 0 as the initial multiplier. Okay? And this is what you get. What is the difference? In the very first iteration, actually in the first two, the penalty parameter was not updated. Okay? And then you keep changing it every time. Okay? Until you get to a good result here, violation 6 to the minus 7. Okay? Because when I run the algorithm with this requirement to be 5 times better, okay, I generally end up here. Okay? Theory says this cannot happen forever, so when I run this, sooner or later this will have to stop, okay, and to remain fixed at least for one iteration, okay. But the question is that here I have been too demanding, okay. This was too demanding. So you have to find out a good trade-off, okay, between demand and being given to give a good performance of the algorithm. If you ask this to be 0.9, okay, you will never update, and then so you will just run multipliers generally, and it may slow down. If you are too demanding, like we were, you increase this penalty parameter too much, and maybe you come up with numerical issues. Okay? Let me try just one more thing. It's an attempt because I did not try it at home, so I could be wrong. Let's try to start with the right multiplier. Minus one. Okay? What comes up? Okay? You got feasibility in one iteration. Okay? So it's likely if you start with the right thing, your algorithm. So you did not start with the right solution, but you were lucky enough to start with the with the right multiplier, so the algorithm runs well. Okay? You don't run it almost. You are doing the KKT conditions directly. Okay, so a good guess of the multipliers is another ingredient you should have for this type of algorithm to perform well. So, I was a bit too long, so we take a break, and then I'll start showing you the last kind of algorithm we are going to see.